There was an infamous professor I heard of in seminary whose style of teaching was that he would come in, and when the bell rang to start class, he would begin to read his notes. He would read them straight through, no interruptions or questions, and at the end of class, mark where he ended and just start with the next sentence of the next class. No introductions or conclusions. I'm not going to do that with this series of homilies I've been talking about with John chapter 6. The last week we looked at the beginning of the chapter and kind of the beginning of the plan of God in conjunction with that. That we believe that God created with order and purpose in the world. We talked some about the connection with modern science and how we understand that. And that ultimate purpose is still present in it. That we believe that we were created for that union with the life of God, that God would share that life of God with us. And we talked about that problem, that central problem at the fall of a disconnecting us from that source, of a disconnecting of us from that life of God, of seeking to be like gods ourselves in that sense, of seeking our fulfillment somewhere else. Seeing this kind of paralleling with the lack of bread, the multiplication of the loaves, the sharing of abundance. That we begin now to look at that development, that there's many things that happened after that original fall, before we reach the time of Christ. We call that whole time the Old Testament. The Old Testament, everything from the fall of Christ leading up to Christ and his redemption. That when they begin to ask him about his identity, as they follow up in the gospel today, tracking him down after the multiplication of the loaves, they go back to the Old Testament. They want to see how he's connected to it. What sign can he do for them? And he begins to speak of the manna in the desert, the bread of life, this sign, which we heard from with Moses in the first reading. And that for us, again, as Christians, when we look at the Old Testament, we're really looking at this time of development, that it's not that God is just wasting time, but that he is working for this salvation, continuing to offer and expand and prepare an understanding and knowledge of who Christ is and what it is that he's doing, working without kind of delay for this purpose. And so that as we understand the scriptures, we can better understand what it is that we do today. That as Christians, we can ask lots of questions when we read the Old Testament, but I believe one of the most important ones for us is how does it point towards Christ and what Christ did. And I want to look at just two very simple things from this reading today that connect with our with a very practical aspect of the Mass, the type of bread that we use. That we use this thin white bread and cut in circles that is not the type of bread you see anywhere else. If you go to a store, this is not what they have on the shelves. If you go to a restaurant, they bring out a basket of bread. It's not this type of bread. Maybe people may even wonder, is it really bread? But it connects very much with this story of the Israelites. Both they're leaving Egypt, the freedom that they got from Egypt through the work of Moses, by the power of God, and their time in the desert. That Egypt is that place of slavery, the place of being bound, that place of, sin in our understanding. That they receive freedom from this, the moment of what we call the Passover, the moment when they are finally sent out by Pharaoh, that they have to leave so quickly that in their dinner, they're not allowed in cooking their dinner. They don't have time to let the bread rise so that it's unleavened bread, which is used in Passover meals, which is what Jesus would have used at the Last Supper meal. So that in celebrating the Eucharist with thin bread rather than the fluffy bread we're used to, we're reminded that we're celebrating that definitive destruction of evil, that moment when that power of sin and death over us is broken on the cross, just as they were freed from Egypt. That this is an important thing, is that we enter into this every time that we celebrate Mass. But with the Israelites, that's not the only stage. For them, it's not just a matter of leaving Egypt, but it's about arriving to the promised land, arriving to the fulfillment and fullness of that freedom. That they pass through this time in the desert growing in freedom. That we as Christians, we believe as we receive salvation, we receive the forgiveness of sins, the restoration of union with God and sanctifying grace, but that we begin a period of sanctification, of allowing this freedom to grow and gain more power in us, of letting it permeate and fill us. That it's connected with the role that manna had with the Israelites. We heard in the first reading how God gave them this bread from heaven that came to the desert in the form of white flakes like frost that gave them the food to continue this journey. Again, when we receive the Eucharist, when we receive communion in the thin white bread that we use, we can be reminded that this also is given to us as a sacrament to help this continued growth, to continue to be with us and support us on this journey. It's not just a kind of once saved, always saved initial freedom that then leaves no other work for us or no other hope for us, but it leaves us, as we receive the grace, the invitation and the ability to allow it to fill us more completely, to move forward in a deeper communion with God and a deeper fullness of grace within us that we continue to we seek that ultimate fulfillment in the promised land, you know, the life with God in heaven. So again, these are just kind of a few examples of the ways that the Old Testament can help enlighten us about how we understand the work of Christ, you know, how we see and understand it in a way as a preparation for us. We ask ourselves today then, you know, how are we aware of this prayer that we're celebrating or praying together as a moment of celebrating the definitive destruction of sin and death? How are we inviting God into that continued process of sanctification?